What's up, everybody? You are listening to the second episode of BS with CSR. My name is Blake Mitchmore, and with me is Shane Shoemaker. What's happening, Shane?
Nothing much, man. Ready to talk some wrestling.
First, we got to get out that we are broadcasting on Audio Boom, Chairshot Reality's official audio partner. You will be able to listen to select clips from the video show on the weekend, and every week you'll find our podcast on Audio Boom, and we're excited to have a partner. Shane, another jabroni jumped the barricade on Raw Monday night. Talk to me about it.
Is this going to happen like every week now? I mean, is something like this happening every show? I mean, you know, first of all, you got the, you know, not necessarily coming out of the barricade, but someone throwing a briefcase at Roman Reigns. Then you got the guy coming at Ambrose with a knife, and now the random guy following Seth Rollins down the ramp. Are they trying to take out the Shield? I mean, is that what they're trying to do?
It sure looks like it.
I mean, you know, I don't know, but all I know is the guy that was with Rollins on Raw was hilarious. I mean, you know, and Rollins just kind of looked at him like he was just, you know, the way the Rollins walked by was just hilarious.
But, I agree, but my thing is, one of two things is going to happen. Either a fan's actually going to hurt a wrestler, or a fan's going to get his ass kicked because somebody's not going to like it and it's going to take him out. And then, you know, only bad things are going to happen from there, because if a fan hurts a wrestler, the WWE will be forced to do something, whether it's, you know, not let people sit that close to ringside anymore, or if a wrestler hurts a fan, then, of course, you're going to have nothing but lawsuits. So, it was funny Monday night, but just back off and don't jump over the ring like an idiot.
I agree.
All right, so Kurt Angle made a little announcement today or yesterday. He said that he's taking a break from the rest of his TNA contract, and some people are thinking he might possibly retire.
I think it's possible. I mean, you know, that guy has a lot of wear and tear on him, but you can't tell me that guy will not jump at the first chance if WWE offers. I don't care if it's one match. I don't care if it's Hall of Fame. You know, he will jump no matter what, and because that's just the way he is. I mean, that's Kurt Angle is a competitor, and he's going to jump. So, again, but if not, if it's TNA related, I mean, plus I think this kind of signals where TNA's headed myself. I mean, he might see the writing on the wall and is trying to get out. But
I agree completely. I mean, I don't see how, if indeed what we think is true, which is that TNA is done on Destination America. Wait, if you don't have Kurt Angle as a star to sell to people, how are they going to possibly, which I don't think is likely regardless, how are they going to possibly get another TV deal? And I don't think Angle retires, whether it's, like you said, whether it's one match or a 3-4 month run like some of these guys come back and have. You're going to see him in the WWE sometime in 2016. Why not let him be a surprise entrance to the Royal Rumble and then let him wrestle at WrestleMania 32?
That's a good call. I like that. That'll be cool.
All right, Shane, the PWI Top 500 got released last week. What's your take on that?
I wasn't really surprised. I mean, you know, you got Rollins and Cena at 1 and 2. Again, I'm not surprised at that, but, like, you know, that had to be hard to decide between those because there's arguments for both at 1 and 2. You know, because to me, Cena had the first half of the year, and, you know, and especially with that U.S. title run and all the stuff he did with that, putting guys over, and then it's like you got Rollins kind of there in the middle. So that had to be tough, but other than that, the other crazy stuff, and I don't even know how they judge this, but King Barrett was ahead of EC3. I think he was ahead of Jay Lethal, too. And guys like that, you know, especially Jay Lethal, and, you know, he's unreal. You know, that guy should have been a lot higher, and some, I think Rusev was like 8 in that, so I was surprised he was in there, but the PWI, go ahead.
That's my question for you is, do you know, is the 2015 ranking, is that based on 2014, or is it based on 2015? Because we're still in 15, it's only August in 15, so.
Right. I don't know where their year actually cuts off at. That's what I was kind of wondering, too. I mean, again, I don't even know what the criteria is. I tried to look it up, and maybe you can tweet, you know, CS Reality or me or Blake One, and please tell us if you'd like. But I couldn't find it at all. And, you know, it's kind of a – again, the top 10 was okay, but it could have been better.
Because that would be my question, because, like, I'm looking here, and Daniel Bryan's 14. I mean –
he didn't have any matches.
Daniel Bryan hadn't wrestled but 2 months since, you know, June of 14.
And Brock.
Actually, June 13th.
Oh, yeah, and Brock Lesnar wasn't even on the list. He's not on the list at all.
Yeah, so, you know, when I was a kid, man, this thing used to be, like, appointment reading for me, you know, and they used to pump out all those different wrestling magazines, but I got quite, you know, you brought up King Barrett. I got questions about that. Daniel Bryan's on it. Lesnar not on it. This thing seems kind of sketchy these days.
Yeah, you know, again, I don't know if the criteria would be the thing to look at. And again, by all means, please someone tweet us that.
Finally in news, and I hate that we have to talk about this, but freaking Russo and Bischoff are at each other's throats again because of what Bischoff said on the latest, you know, DVD of the Monday Night Wars. What's your thought on that?
Well, if you're going in the Bischoff route, and I honestly don't think the guy needs money, but, you know, I think WWE is definitely hurting on trying to sell DVDs and Blu-rays now. And I got to tell you, I mean, you know, because this is, I believe, an extra on the DVD for the Monday Night Wars. You know, I watched this clip about what Bischoff said there, and it made me want to buy it. You know, it made me want to get it. You know, again, who knows how much truth is on either side, but it made me want to get it because if there's more, I want to hear it. And again, I don't think it's Bischoff needing money. And but on Russo's side, man, you know, kind of like the Hogan deal, maybe stay off Twitter or maybe stop talking about it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Vince, I've gotten to know Vince a little bit, and he's a friend, but I've never met a guy that's more of a freaking lightning rod than this dude. I mean, it's amazing the amount of crap that he receives on a regular basis, and I just, why are we talking about Bash at the Beach 2000 still? Yeah. Was that even, I mean, my question is, in the grand scheme of professional wrestling, was that even a big, like, that big of a moment? WCW was damn near dead at that point. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I get it. It was Hulk Hogan, but did anybody really care?
No, I mean, again, I know that the whole thing, everybody wants to know, was it a work? Was it a shoot? You know, what was it? But, I mean, you know, I mean, I don't know if they were trying to make that, like, the new Montreal screw job or something. But, again, it like you said, WCW was pretty much dead at that point. And why are we still talking about it now?
Exactly. And that's my – I just, you know, and it makes – that's these are the kind of things that makes me hate, you know, to a certain degree, the business we're in with professional wrestling, because there's so many people out there that just love to stir crap. And that's all this is, and it's just stop. Let's talk about the current product, or let's talk about the good stuff from 15 years ago. Let's not talk about whether Eric Bischoff's a liar or Vince Russo's a liar, because – you know, like I said, Vince is a friend, and obviously Vince can't not talk about it. And I don't blame him, but just stop talking about it.
I couldn't agree more.
All right, so moving on to Raw this week. Man, what in the blue hell are they doing with Sheamus? Talking about Ronald McDonald, and he loses damn near every match now.
I mean, why is this guy telling corny jokes or responding back to corny jokes? I mean, you know, and I know people say that, you know, he looks stupid with the hair and all that. I'm almost wondering, is he still keeping that look for the Ninja Turtle movie, you know, where he's, I can't remember if he's playing Bebop, Rocksteady, I have no idea. I mean, I fully expect like a hair versus hair match to happen here. And, you know, maybe, because, I mean, I don't hate the look. I really don't. I think it's good to be if he wants to be a vicious heel, but he's not playing a vicious heel.
That's my thing. I mean, he came back. You know, the whole deal with changing the entrance, changing the mindset, changing the look was to reestablish him as that badass, vicious heel that he was when he first showed up, when he won the world championship in like 2 months. And now he's making Ronald McDonald jokes. It's just dumb.
Yeah, again, and I'm almost wondering, I mean, did they just put the Money in the Bank briefcase with him just because they wanted to make it a surprise that Roman wasn't going to win it? I mean, was that just the ulterior motive, I guess? I mean, because, again, it shocked me. I didn't, you know, I thought that was a lock that Roman was going to win that. But
yeah, I agree. Moving on to, dude, what in the – I think it's time to just scrap the Lana Rusev Ziggler angle. It's just – it's played out. It's dumb. Let's just stop. I mean, now Lana's possibly hurt. Some people say she's not hurt. I mean, what the hell are they doing with this?
Well, it almost is like another episode of Total Divas, basically. It's unfortunate, but it is. You know, they had the injury with Rusev, and you know they somehow still kept the storyline going then, and they had the, you know, now Lana's hurt. I mean, she doesn't wrestle, and I'm sure they were trying to set up a mixed tag, but you know, I know it's her wrist, but could they not still have her on TV if, unfortunately, they're wanting to keep up with the storyline? Of course, I don't want that, and I don't think anybody else wants that, so it'll probably be done at Night of Champions.
Well, I think, you know, if she stays off TV for 4 months, like the reports say, I think you bring her back as a surprise and put her back with Rusev, and let's go with what worked, because this face turn isn't working. Let's just make sure that she keeps dressing like she is with Dolph Ziggler. No more business suits.
Yeah, I can agree with that as well.
Okay, finally, to wrap up this part of Raw, dude, you can tell me Seth Rollins is great, and he is. You can tell me Bray Wyatt's great, and he is. Week to week, the New Day is the most entertaining thing on Raw every single show.
And I don't know why anyone would try to argue that point right now. Again, you know, they used to be just a straight up, for me, it was straight up DVR moment. Oh, I'm fast forwarding through that. You know, there's no need in watching them. But, you know, you watch those guys and you kind of see, like, these guys have actually made something out of nothing, you know. And the big part is going to be how much longer can they keep them heels? You know, they've got to do heel things, and they're in a time in wrestling when it's not easy to be a heel. You know, that, you know, like if you listen to JR's podcast, but you know, it's hard to cheat now. It's hard to get over as a heel. So, and they do a lot of funny stuff. But if they can pull like an E and C, like, you know, Edge and Christian type thing, where they do the funny stuff, but still get guys to still hate them by cheating, then it could work.
I agree. I mean, I think keeping a heel is going to be hard for them. But what I love about them is I think that in the span of just a few months, they've completely gained Vince and the creative team's trust, because there's no way in hell, if you look at the rest of that show, that people are writing that stuff for him. That's those three guys, you know, kind of like you hear DX did in the old days, or somebody else. Those three guys sitting there and coming up with all this crazy crap, like a trombone and all the dances and all the claps and stuff they're doing, and going to Vince and saying, hey, we're going to do this. And Vince is like, perfect, do it. Sounds great.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's I don't know if you listened to the Edge Christian podcast with Austin the other night, but you know, they talked about how they went to a writer and just said, you know, we're laughing at this right now, so you know, how can, you know, other people not laugh at it?
I agree. Those guys are great. All right, this week's CSR fan guest / co-host is my man Brian Kelly. BK, what's up, man?
What's going on, Blake? Man, good to talk to you.
You too, buddy. So, how long you been watching CSR?
About 3 years now, I would say. A friend turned me on to it and loved it ever since.
And you and I actually got to hang out this year at WrestleMania a little bit. Talk to me about your experience with all of us out at WrestleMania this year.
It was a great time. Highly recommended. You guys did all the Vince Russo stuff. I'm a huge Vince Russo mark, so that drew me in. Obviously, loved the show. Loved Justin, Josh. Met you. Didn't know you before, but you're a great dude. So it's a great time. Highly recommended.
Good deal. All right, man. Well, people won't be able to actually see your face, but for our listening audience, this guy looks a hell of a lot like Kevin Owens, and I know he's a big Kevin Owens fan. Talk to me about Kevin Owens, man. How do you think he's being used on the main roster right now? Do you like it? Do you not like it? Talk to me.
I don't love it, but I don't hate it as much as most of the internet marks, if you will, hate it. I mean, the guy's a heel. He's going to lose. I get that, but frankly, I'd book him a little bit stronger. I wouldn't have had him tap to Cena. I thought that kind of took a little steam away from him. But I like that he's probably going into a Ryback feud. I'm a Ryback guy, but Intercontinental belt's done nothing for him. I think it would be much better to put the belt on Owens, keep the internet crowd happy. He's charismatic, he'll have great promos. So,
I agree. Shane, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, I don't think they're really burying, you know, Owens at all. I mean, he's been on Raw and SmackDown. He's been put in, I think, decent positions. I mean, you know, he's actually won. You know, he beat Cesaro twice, you know, SummerSlam, then Raw. Of course, everyone hates the Cena tap out. You know, I didn't like that either. I thought he was going to get the U.S. title, but the I think he's been displayed actually pretty well, a lot better than people think. I mean, you know, you can't rush him to the world title, you know, right away. So, but I think this feud with Ryback, I think it'd actually be pretty good. I mean, I'm not even a huge Ryback guy, but I think this could actually be a good feud for him.
See, I'm not a Ryback guy either. I don't like him, and I love the fact that Owens is going to work, you know, and sit there, you know. Like you said, Owens is great on the mic. Owens can make fun of him. And, you know, one of the best things I've told multiple people this, the little things that Owens does, like at TakeOver in Brooklyn, my favorite moment of that match, and it was a fantastic match, was when Balor's doing that, you know, just crazy demon entrance, and then they pan over and Owens is sitting in a chair back like, oh, God, will this just hurry up and get over?
Yeah, it's the little things that Kevin Owens does that makes him what he is. And it's the sitting in the chair, and even that another spot in that match where he puts the ladder up against Balor and he starts running after him, and then he like goes around and just like punches him. And that was a great heel move.
All right, BK, let me ask you this. Right now, based on, and it's only been 4 or 5 months, so it's hard to predict this, but based on what you've seen and the fact that now he's kind of, you know, off of Cena, and yeah, Ryback's popular, but still kind of in the mid-card, is this where Kevin Owens stays? You know, is he going to be like that Intercontinental Championship guy, or do you see your boy making his way up to the main events and possibly carrying the big strap one day?
I fully 100% believe by WrestleMania 34, he's main eventing WrestleMania. As the heel champ going in, he'll probably lose the belt. That's what heels do, but 100%.
Is he still wearing a T-shirt and baggy shorts at that point?
Yes, because Vince will not allow him to walk out there with a belly. That's just the way he works.
All right, Shane, BK says he's main event WrestleMania within 2 years. What do you think?
I want him to, and I have to admit, I'm an Owens mark, too. You know, I haven't been excited about a wrestler, you know, since Michaels left, you know, because I was a huge Michaels guy. Man, it's tough. He's got a great persona, you know. It's possible. I want him to, but I don't know. I mean, people like Kevin Dunn may hold him back. You never know, so.
I'm so sick of Kevin Dunn, by the way. Why does he get to make all the rules?
I think we all are.
All right. I also know my man BK is a pretty big ROH guy.
Yes.
Let me ask you something, Brian. You know, we got Seth Rollins doing this dual championship gig like Jay Lethal is WWE just basically taking and copying right off ROH? What do you think?
I think so. I mean, that's what the wrestling business does. Companies constantly copying, mimicking each other, but at least they're gonna copy. Might as well copy good ideas. And the Jay Lethal thing's been awesome so far. So it's better than Sheamus and Randy Orton for the 10th time in, you know, 6 weeks.
No
so.
Joke.
And if anybody could do it, Rollins, we know, can put on 2 matches a night, get the best matches at everybody. So.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about that. Shane, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I do think they have. You know, I think I wrote in the column, you know, a couple weeks back that, you know, I wonder how much, you know, Vince actually keeps up with, you know, other products. I mean, he's in his own little world. So, I mean, you know, if some creative writer brought this idea to him, this grand thing of, hey, let's do title for title, you know, I mean, he probably doesn't even know what's going on in Ring of Honor. But I will say this, Jay Lethal and Jay Briscoe, you know, that the stuff they did, they made me want to buy that pay-per-view. That was a great story. It was a great feud. I mean, it was awesome.
I agree. That was the very first Ring of Honor pay-per-view I ever bought, and it was because of those two guys.
Yeah, they made you want to buy the pay-per-view. You know, that's what it's all about.
All right, so we briefly hit on Seth Rollins and the fact that he's basically copying Lethal. Brian, what's your thoughts on Rollins, man? I mean, you know, he in the storyline, he gets called the man, but the dude really is becoming the man. I mean, he's great on the mic. The match he had with Cena at SummerSlam is ridiculous. He's about to hit 2 matches in one night. This dude's a stud.
Yeah, 100%. The question is, where would they be without him right now? Which is hard to believe that he was the so-called forgotten member of the Shield. Everybody thought when they broke up, he'd kind of get lost in the shuffle, get like a Neville kind of program. But where would they be without him? I mean, he opens every show with the 15-minute promo, it seems. He has the match of the night more times than not. He has backstage segments. He's He's the man, like you said.
Shane, what do you think about? I know you're a big Rollins guy.
Yeah, I'm. I kind of thought the same way you did. Everybody thought he was going to be the forgotten member of the Shield, and he's far exceeded every one of them. I even go back to watching his match on Raw this past week with Ryback. Man, he made Ryback look like $1 million. I mean, that match was really good. It was really fun to watch. I mean, the way he sold, the way he made Ryback look. I mean, the guy is just top notch right now. And I compared him to how Michaels was in 96, 97. I mean, the guy was untouchable. And Rollins is there, if not there.
Yeah, and I agree. I think, Michaels is a good comparison. And I think another great comparison is Daniel Bryan in his run a couple years ago. I mean, there was nobody he had a match with that wasn't just off the charts. And even when he came back, earlier this year, that nobody thought Roman Reigns could go 25 minutes, and Bryan led him to a fantastic match. Rollins is, I mean, for me right now, as far as wrestling goes, he's by far the best on the roster.
There's I don't think there's any comparison to him right now.
All right, BK, the big thing right now is my man – well, I'm not going to say my man because Ghoulish will get pissed at me. Ghoulish's man, Sting, is fighting for the title here in a couple weeks in Night of Champions. Last week we saw Sting kind of do a pretty serious, stern, old-school promo. And then this week, if our listeners have watched TNA, he kind of went back to that kind of jokerish, goofy Sting. What do you think? I mean, I didn't mind it, but I see some people, they thought he should have just stayed serious.
Joker Sting? I mean, I get it. It's a PG audience, so that plays a little more to the crowd, but I'm a big fan of the old school mysterious Sting who doesn't have to say much. So that's where I'd go with it, but I get it. I don't really love it myself.
Shane, what do you think?
We've got sort of the dark and ominous Sting now. We've got a little bit of Joker Sting now. I mean, are we getting Surfer Sting next? I mean, is he coming out with the colorful, face paint and tights and, fringe, look? I mean, hey, I dig it, for a while. I mean, granted, his hair is not even going to put up with that, but
that's what I was going to say, and Ghoulish will probably hurt me for this, but I don't think he could do Surfer Sting anymore because he can't, he can't get a flat top with that bald spot that he covers up with the long hair.
No. Again, I didn't hate the Joker Sting, though. I mean, it could have been worse. I mean, I saw the clips from TNA, and it was absolutely ridiculous.
And that is the good thing. They kind of towed the line, it gave you that vibe, but they didn't go that far with it. I agree with Brian. I prefer the old Sting. I didn't like that promo he did the week before. I thought it was weird, mainly because all he did was kiss Triple H's ass, so I didn't mind it Monday, but I don't think you can, I would guess that WWE feels like you can't go 4 weeks with Sting just pointing his bat at him the whole time like he did the entire time with the Triple H feud for Mania.
Yeah, well, the like I said, the promo had nothing to do with him last week. I mean, it was all Triple H. I mean, it was like he was just, running an errand for Triple H real quick. We're out there, hey, promote me, push me and all this stuff. But, again, I just hope this storyline eventually gets back to Sting never holding the WWE title, which is what it should be all about.
All right, BK, before we let you go, I'm going to throw a curveball at you.
Sure.
What do you think about the GFW TNA invasion angle?
I think it's terrible, to be perfectly honest.
Well said.
I mean, how are you going to have an invasion angle for a company that's never been on TV and only the internet marks, if you so will, even know about it because they've done a couple of house shows. There's no TV. So it's like us three running an invasion angle on Raw. They'd be like, who the hell are you guys?
My favorite part, and I hate to do it, but my favorite part is, a couple weeks ago they did all these, cross-promotional matches and they called it a super show where, I'm sorry, whatever his name was Curt Hawkins and WWE, the guy that was the two edges with Zack Ryder, and then the guy, Chris Masters. When you're calling it a super show with those guys, and yes, they're good wrestlers, but like you just said, nobody knows who the hell they are. Let's not call it a super show.
maybe a super house show, a super indie show.
I love super house show. That's a good one.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, BK, we're glad you hopped on this week, and we'll definitely get you on down the road.
All right, man. I appreciate it. Good talking to you guys.
Good having you, man.
All right, buddy. All right, big thanks to our guest, Brian Kelly. Shane, let's hit the BS moments of the week.
Okay. I don't know if anyone's read this or not, but if you've kept up with Bret Hart and what he's had to say the past week or so, is just absolutely ridiculous. And it's not, you know, we're so used to Bret Hart saying all these things about, you know, the guys he used to be in the locker room with. But the big thing now is he said that he could not forgive Seth Rollins for breaking John Cena's nose with the knee. He said that you can't call yourself the best wrestler in the world and break John Cena's nose. I'm sorry, but that is BS.
What the hell? I didn't even hear this. Really?
I'm not kidding. Go look it up. It's on WrestleZone. You can look on there. And it, yeah, and you know, it's just Bret calling out one after the other of the old guys. I mean, he talks bad about Scott Hall again and how, you know, the rest of the clique was a disease, which that's not a big surprise.
He's been saying that for 20 years.
Oh, yeah. Again, you know, the other stuff is not a huge surprise. You know, he dogs Hogan and says, you know, Hogan needs to never come back to WWE and you know, stay and worship himself in Tampa. Again, not a surprise. But why are you saying that, you know, and again, he says he likes Seth Rollins' work, but he said he could not forgive him for breaking John Cena's nose. First of all, I like Bret Hart. I'm a fan of Bret Hart. His in-ring work is just almost unmatched. But a guy can't complain about, you know, hitting someone with a knee when the most he ever did with his knees was jumping off the second rope and landing on them, hitting a forearm.
I know Bret's big claim to fame when he was active and even after was that he never injured anybody. But he worked in this freaking business long enough to know that it's going to happen. I mean, that is BS. That pisses me off just hearing it.
Exactly. And that should piss everybody off. I mean, again, he's a great wrestler. He never hurt anybody. The most I ever heard he did was maybe chip Vader's tooth. Again, you know, no one can be compared to him in any respect in that regards. But again, that is BS. I mean, come on.
All right.
What's your BS moment? I'm fired up.
You know, down at NXT, the WWE has promo class. They teach them wrestling. I think we need to have Twitter class because now another NXT, and yes, it was in the past, but, you know, I'm not even going to try to say her real name because it's insane, but she wrestled under the name Jasmine, and now apparently there is another diva that likes to use racial slurs on Twitter. Can we not stop this garbage, please? I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's BS. You know, I'm calling for it right now, and I know that nobody in WWE will probably listen to this, but if they do, let's make a rule. When you go to NXT, you can't have a Twitter until you get to the main roster, and maybe, you know, you graduated. It's a sign of maturity. You get your Twitter. I don't know, but I'm tired of reading this crap. Just stop it already.
I agree that, you know, the other thing, and again, I am in no way approving of what these people are saying on this, but I'm amazed at the people that find this stuff. Where do you take the time? I mean, I heard this was from like years back. I mean, who is taking the time to go back and find this stuff is unreal. I mean, you know, they need to be in another job researching something else, but, you know, but again, I agree, total BS on her saying this, that I agree on the Twitter classes, you know, which it's awful. I mean, especially in the day and age we live in.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I don't even like to search back like 6 or 7 tweets to like if I want to, repost something, let alone search back 3 years of tweets. I mean, it's ridiculous, but just take their Twitters away. If they can't handle it, it's just like a little kid when you have to take something of theirs away. Take their damn Twitters away until they can grow into them and learn how to use them because obviously it's becoming a problem. Just stop. Yeah. Stop letting them have Twitter. That's how we fix it.
Oh, yeah, I agree. You know, I think even like the NFL or other things do this where they have classes on how to, you know, properly contain yourself and, you know, either in your lifestyle or, you know, even on Twitter, and WWE definitely needs that, again, especially for Twitter and social media.
All right, before we get out of here this week, what's your column for today, man?
Well, actually, my BS moment about Bret Hart. You're going to get a little bit more in depth about what I feel Bret Hart has basically said, and not even just about Seth Rollins, but the other guys he pretty much bashed. You know, again, I love Bret Hart. I loved watching him back in the day. He's I'm not going to say he's one of my favorites ever, but I definitely respect him. And but you know, just the stuff he says, it just sounds like he's just full of bitterness.
Yeah, before we get out of here, it just sounds, you know, we talked about Bischoff Russo earlier this week. Now Bret Hart's like, you know, can't we all just get along? Can't we just enjoy wrestling for what it's supposed to be? Fun? Yeah. Why is there all this drama all the time? It's just ridiculous.
It's sad that it's such a bitter, egotistical business.
Yeah, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that, you know, I don't have any direct access like I do with wrestling, but pro wrestling seems more egotistical than, like, mainstream sports like football. I mean, there's, you know, professional, like, football players seem to have more humility than some of these freaking wrestlers, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can agree with that totally.
All right, that's going to wrap it up this week. Follow Shane at SShoemaker24. Follow me at Blake Mitchmore. Thanks for hanging out, and we'll catch you next week. Another hairsprayed prom queen, so young and so insecure.